Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the program. Man, do we have a ton to catch up on today, and we're definitely not going to get to everything. I'm promising you that right up front. We will not do all the big news stories of the day. The reverse of what most people will tell you, but I'm being honest, there's no way we're getting to all of it. A couple of big things that did happen today that we're probably not going to have that much time to touch on, but the classified documents case on Donald Trump that was in court in Florida was tossed today. Basically, the appointment of Jack Smith ruled to be unconstitutional by the judge. We will see where that goes. Surely challenges will abound, as you see here. But that one's gone for the moment, which basically means there's nothing left. There's really nothing left here when it comes to these charges. Nothing certainly that's going to happen before the election. So this whole thing about Trump and the legal situation being a big force in the election outcome, pretty much dead, pretty much dead. Also, Trump is to announce his vice president choice today. Now, I will say, I don't know when you're listening to this, so he may have already picked that person. When this does happen, we're going to try to go live on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. If you follow the page and click the bell for notifications, you'll get pop-ups when we're doing these lives. We've done about 5 or 6 of them in the last week. Big things. The press conference, Biden's press conference, obviously the shooting with Trump, we went live a couple times. Big interviews, big press conferences, big speeches, big poll results being released, whatever we got, we're gonna be going live on YouTube. So just join us there and you'll get all of that stuff. Let me go through some of the stuff today. Look, you've already heard the Trump assassination attempt. You know what it is. You know what happened. I'm not going to go too deep into just recounting the everyday back and forth on this because we've already covered it on some of the lives, and you've probably already seen the coverage. You've certainly seen the video. It's one of the most amazing things really any of us will ever experience. So understand this for your kids, for your grandkids. Try to keep the perspective. Maybe write some of it down. Maybe jot yourself a few emails to just get you, give the perspective of what you're thinking through these moments, because these are historic times. There's no doubt about that. Trump is rewriting his speech at the RNC in wake of the assassination attempt. And, you know, it's hard to know exactly what he's thinking here. We don't know where he is going to go with this difference, but we got a little bit of a taste potentially from his Truth Social where he just wrote, "Unite America." Unite America. That's his simple message. And what this is politically, and again, we can go into all the more important things. We've already done a lot of that. You probably already thought through a lot of that. So we're trying to get to the secondary stuff here, which is politically, the mindset of Donald Trump is changing if he goes this direction. He is no longer thinking about a 51-49 type victory. He's now thinking, wait a minute, do I win by 10? Do I win by 12? Can I get 350 electoral votes? This is where his mind is in this moment. And I think if he can nail this tone and not take the goodwill he will receive, obviously, for being a victim of something like this, and turn it into, if he doesn't ruin it, which is possible, it's hard to do, especially over several months, it's going to be hard to hold that together for any candidate. But, you know, Trump is Trump, and he likes to sometimes remind people that they don't like him. You know, some people don't. Which was kind of on display this weekend. Some people really don't like him. And, you know, but I think he's going to have a burst of goodwill here. And it will be fascinating to see what happens in the polls as a result of it. Again, this is a secondary issue. The number one issue is, of course, Donald Trump's health. And, of course, the people at the rally that were affected by this, a father in a terribly tragic story, killed. Awful. There's other people who are in critical condition. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. That's number one. Number two is what happens to our country. We are in really dangerous territory. But we did cover some of this on radio and on YouTube Live. So we'll all just keep to what's going on right now. There was last night, of course, a Biden address. Biden addresses Trump rally shooting at Oval Office. Address: politics may never be a literal battlefield. I mean, he butchered that line pretty badly when he went through it. Let me give you a couple of the clips from this speech last night. This is him talking about the motive of the shooter.
Earlier today, I spoke about an ongoing investigation. We do not know the motive of the shooter yet.
No.
We don't know his opinions or affiliations. We don't know whether he had help or support, or if he communicated with anyone else. Law enforcement professionals, as I speak, are investigating those questions. Tonight, I want to speak to what we do know.
Riveting, riveting speech from Joe Biden, as you might imagine. Now, my understanding is the intent motive was to kill Donald Trump. Not sure if that one holds up, but that's my belief. We don't know everything about this guy. He seems to be kind of a quirky 20-year-old with not a big online history. We'll see where all that shakes out. We don't need to speculate on it because we'll know eventually, I think. This one was, because the tone was terrible. Joe Biden is awful doing these speeches. He is, you know, borderline incoherent. Certainly no energy, a really weird physical performance, really stilted and odd. That's what you expect out of Joe Biden. There was an opportunity for him to potentially say, hey, you know, my side's obviously got some problems with this stuff, too. Like, he could have tried to do this thing where he reaches across the aisle. And one way he attempted to kind of signal he was doing that was to say, hey, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, the assassination of Donald Trump or this on the right or this on the left or this on the right. He kind of set it up that way, like he was going to give you a laundry list of some examples from either side to show, hey, both sides are guilty of this. We need to turn the temperature down. Instead, what he did was only remember things that happened to people on the left. It was an incredible, dishonest, disingenuous, disgusting moment from a president in this spot. I can't overstate how just horrible this moment was. Watch this, because I think people on the left will be like, oh, yeah, I see what he's saying there. But look at the examples he comes up with.
We cannot, we must not go down this road in America. We've traveled before throughout our history. Violence has never been the answer. Whether it's with members of Congress of both parties being targeted and shot, or a violent mob attacking the Capitol on January 6th.
Okay, January 6th.
Or brutal attack on the spouse of former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi.
Or information and intimidation on election officials.
Oh, Donald Trump is evil.
Or the kidnapping plot against the sitting governor.
Okay,
Richard Whitmer. Attempted assassination on Donald Trump.
Got it.
There's okay, so no place in
there
America
you go.
For this kind
There's
of
the
violence.
There's the list. So it's January 6th. You can turn it off. January 6th, the Michigan thing, which kind of fell apart, if you remember, Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping, the intimidation of election officials. That's an actual criticism of Donald Trump. The man was just shot in the side of the head, and he's saying he's the problem. Did he ask for it? Was his skirt too short? Absolutely incredible. Couldn't come up with, I don't know, Brett Kavanaugh almost being assassinated. Couldn't come up with that one. Couldn't come up with a Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer almost murdering 10% of all elected Republicans in Washington, D.C. Couldn't think of that one, right? That was just out of sight, out of mind. But you came up with the Michigan kidnapping case. Good job, Joe. Just despicable. It wound up being basically just an election speech. I mean, he went into like how we're going to argue, we're going to choose, you know, what we're going to choose for the future. There is absolutely no reason for this to be in the Oval Office. He went on to say, well, we can't do this with violence. We have to address these things at the battle box, which I think is like, we have to, I don't know if it's battle bots, like we have to make sure the election is decided by two robots, each representing the candidates. I don't know what the battle box is. They actually went to the extent with the actual transcript, because he, of course, was supposed to say ballot box. He said battle box twice, so they had to correct it in the actual transcript. And rather than saying what he actually said, which was battle, B-A-T-T-L-E, they actually corrected the official transcript to a made-up word. Battle, B-A-T-T-O-L. That's not a word. They actually corrected him from a real word and made it look like he actually was saying a fake word because they didn't want to admit what a gaffe it was when he was preaching for peace and uses the word battle. Unbelievable. And then, of course, we had the whole everyone must be treated with dignity and respect. Oh, you mean like Adolf Hitler? Is that the kind of respect you've been looking for? Because that's what you've been saying about your opponent this entire time, that he's basically literally Hitler. So that's the sort of dignity and respect we should expect out of you. Just an absolute disgrace from behind. From the freaking Oval Office, from behind the Resolute desk. We get this. What an embarrassment this guy is. I mean, the seconds can't pass quickly enough until he's out of office. I can't wait. I personally can't wait. some other stuff that's going on. The conspiracy theories got so bad that even Taylor Lorenz got mad at them. That's how bad we are. Blue Anon conspiracy theories flood social media after Trump rally shooting. Really crazy ones, basically arguing about the idea that it was staged. Completely absurd, of course. Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe, pulled from the air today because of the Trump shooting. Reported by CNN that they were worried that they or their guests were going to say something horrible in the coverage, which is fascinating because now this is Joe Biden's favorite show. His most trusted show, where he goes when he needs trusted perspective. So basically, the show that our president goes to for trusted perspective can't even be trusted by his own network. That's a good sign. That's a good sign for our future. Trump rally shooting upends Democrats' Biden crisis. This is a fascinating secondary part of the story, because obviously we spent the last couple of weeks after the debate talking about how Biden might have to step down. He's trying to fight for his life. And there's two ways to look at this. Where I'm sitting right now is this is probably very good for Biden in a weird way, right? It's weird to talk about this incident and talk about whether it's good for a politician, but I mean, we're doing the political side of this intentionally. You know, it's going to help him run out the clock. That's, I think, the thought here. They're not going to be able to deal with this for a while. There was rumors that multiple dozens of Democrats were going to come out and ask for him to step down. It's really hard to do that when he's in the middle of a crisis like this. This probably lets him run the clock out. The other side of this, and I'll just throw it out there, I don't know that this is going to happen, but if the polls really, really pop for Donald Trump here, and we start seeing polls like 10, 12, 14 points, something crazy, if that starts happening, they may go ahead replacing him anyway. They may just pull the rug out from under him if they can anyway. Again, this is something he's going to have to agree with. We'll see if that happens. Jen Psaki says Republicans must change their tone at the convention to restore civility because their candidate almost got murdered on stage. So I don't know exactly what how much more civil they can be to discourage people shooting at the candidates. So I don't know. Again, was his skirt a bit too short? He shouldn't have been walking in that alley now, should he? Absolutely incredible coming from the left. Look, the rhetoric of the left, calling him Hitler and a dictator and a threat to democracy and all the things they've done is really, really bad. Of course, and obviously, it's true. The person responsible for a murder or an attempted murder is the person who attempted the murder. That's obvious. I work in a business where I say stuff all the time, and we know how the left tries to blame us for everything bad that happens. Well, he listened to Glenn Beck, or he listened to Stu Bergier, or he listened to Steve Dace, or whoever, and they say, oh, well, that's the reason why he did this. Look, it's not our responsibility as broadcasters or even politicians' responsibilities to control every lunatic that might listen to them. But I will say, it's not a good idea to be calling your opponent Hitler all the time, and it's obviously something they don't believe, because if they believed it, they wouldn't be wishing him well, right? You don't wish Hitler well. That's not what you do. But you do create a situation where a lot of people will say, well, you know, it kind of makes sense, right? We saw this reaction from the left. A lot of people kind of cheered this on, that someone took a shot at Donald Trump. And in some ways, you look at the rhetoric of the left, I mean, it's basic ethics class in every college, right? Would you go back and kill baby Hitler, right? It's like a fantasy, right? A time machine brings you back to kill baby Hitler. It would do so much good. Well, they're telling you that Hitler's right here right now. And he's not even a baby. He's not even adorable anymore. He's an adult. So why wouldn't you do it? That is the underlying argument of every one of their points. And you know what? Someone's going to take it seriously eventually. They're not criminally responsible for that. They are protected by a very, very strong First Amendment in their speech, but it's still the wrong thing to do. There's no doubt about that. Let's see, what else do we have time for here? It's funny because going back to the Hitler point real quick, when you assassinate Hitler, Tom Cruise makes movies about your life. That is what the messaging is from the Democratic Party. They're telling you this man is Hitler. Of course some crazy person's going to do something. We don't know if it was this one or many of the other threats that Donald Trump has received over the years. Thank God this one wasn't the one that did the most damage. By the way, even while this was going on, the New York Times still had pieces up right under their live coverage of this event that, that the Republicans were influenced by Nazis. even as the event was going on, it was still up on their site. So how is this something that Trump can work with electorally? The tone is going to be important here. And so far, he has absolutely nailed the tone. These statements that he's made that are strong and brave and resilient, but also he doesn't need to be in your face in these moments, just like he didn't need to be in your face when, you know, Biden's debate performance was out there as the news cycle. He's learning how to kind of sit back and let, give Biden political rope. That is a massive, massive difference in the way that Trump is handling this two previous campaigns. How long will it be until Trump is Hitler again? Because their entire campaign is built on calling Trump Hitler, saying he's violent, and abortion. Well, how do you do the other two? You're going to hear a lot about abortion, because how do you do the other two? How do you do the other flanks of this? You can't say the Republicans are the violent party after they almost got their candidate almost got assassinated. And, you know, you can't really talk about January 6th or anything else after all this has gone on. What do you do? Abortion, 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 I suppose. And let me end with this because I'm running out of time. One thing we should all not lose perspective of is how freaking crazy it was that the bullet actually hit his ear. His ear that's attached to his head, that's 1 inch away from absolutely him having no chance of surviving this. If you went into a Hollywood pitch meeting and you're like, I've got a great idea for a movie. It's going to be about an attempted assassination of a presidential candidate. And the guy fires and it hits his ear and there's lots of blood and everyone goes, oh, my gosh. And there's a big scene and you would get laughed out of the pitch room. The chances of this happening are completely impossible. I mean, a shot and a miss would have been crazy enough, but a shot that hits him in the ear and he's walking off stage moments later is impossibly insane. Only God could have possibly protected him and made this happen. It is a miracle, and I mean that legitimately. God only knows not only what would happen, of course, to his family and politics, but what would have happened to our country if 1 inch, a little bit more wind, whatever the difference was, if that would have occurred. And finally, the reaction. Him having the presence of mind to stand up in that moment and pump his fist and say fight is not only iconic, the photos are iconic, but it is one of the most badass things you will ever see from any politician at any level in any situation. It might be the most badass thing I've ever seen in the history of politics. It is incredible. It was an incredible moment. It's one that he should not have had to suffer through, but man, after it, it is incredibly impressive. I want to talk about the security aspects of what went on, the failures with this security. We're going to bring in Spencer Corson. He's a security expert, and he's going to join us next. Let me tell you about Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas. Now, you might have an electric car. Maybe you're thinking, I don't buy gas. Well, do you buy groceries? Do you dine out? Well, with Upside, you get cash back every single day on purchases all over the place. It's kind of like a secret weapon for staying on track with your savings goals. To get started, download the free Upside app and use the promo code STU. You'll get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. You can claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside and then pay as usual with a credit card or debit card. Follow the steps in the app and you'll get paid. In comparison to credit card loyalty programs, you're getting like 3 times more cash back with Upside. So why wouldn't you do this? It's free money. Upside doesn't sell your personal information to third parties. They know that's important to you, so they just don't do it. Upside users are earning hundreds of dollars a year. They got great ratings on the App Store. So get the Upside app for free. Use the promo code STU, get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. It's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using the promo code STU with the Upside app.
Für alle ein Fest zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Gourmet-Dessert-Törtchen. 6x30 Gramm für nur 2,89 Euro. Oder Gourmet-Frischkäse-Gipfel. 90 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere festliche Angebote. Jetzt bei Aldi Nord. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
I'm joined now by Spencer Corson. He's a threat management expert and founder of the Corson Security Group, author of The Safety Trap, a great book, A Security Expert's Secrets for Staying Safe in a Dangerous World, which is available now wherever you get your books. Spencer, thanks so much for coming on the program, man.
Stu, always a pleasure, my friend. How are you?
Really, really well. Crazy times, unfortunately, though. Let me start with this. This is a headline from the Wall Street Journal. Trump shooting is Secret Service's most stunning failure in decades. True or false?
True. 100% true. I remember going through my own protective academy, and one of the first things that I remember hearing an instructor tell me was, anytime your protective team is forced to pivot from prevention to reaction, you failed. The buck stops with the Secret Service here, and the fact that they haven't been answering any questions is not really instilling a lot of confidence in their future capability.
It really is stunning. And you know, it's stunning when like an idiot like me sees stuff and is like, hey, wait a minute, what about that? Let me start with this because, you know, as I look at it, I don't understand all this stuff. You've been protecting, you know, really important people all around the globe for a really long time. Also lowlifes like Glenn Beck. But when you're talking about a situation like this with a presidential candidate who's obviously, getting threatened all the time, is in the middle of an open field with an elevated position 130 yards away or whatever it was, to me, it just seems, number one, completely insane that there wasn't an officer or somebody on that roof preventing anyone else from getting up there. I mean, am I overthinking this?
No, you're not overthinking this at all. I mean, 150 yards away, 200 yards away, 300 yards away, 500 yards away, that's still within the threat envelope. Anyone who's ever gone through any kind of like protective academy, whether that's Secret Service, DSS, U.S. Marshals, what have you, day one, year one, hour one is threat mitigation, right? Line of sight. And the fact that this shooter was only a football field away from a presidential candidate is absurd. And they can say all day long that this was outside the perimeter and that this was local police's responsibility. The buck stops with the Secret Service. The buck stops with Secret Service. So that canopy should have been flagged, it should have been marked, it should have been deterred, it should have been completely on everyone's radar. And the fact that someone was able to drive in, carry a long run across the field, mount a roof, and then set up into a sniper perch is just unforgivable.
It's incomprehensible that happened. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why there's so many crazy conspiracy theories going around immediately is because people jump to conclusions because they can't understand how this could happen. They picture the Secret Service as being the best in the world. And I mean, how do you explain that to someone who's looking at this and saying, wait a minute, these guys are supposed to be top of the line and the best security anybody can get, and yet this obvious thing that I think the layman could understand, there's people just standing around saying, hey, there's somebody on the roof with a gun a minute and a half before the shooting happens, and somehow it still goes on. I mean, how do we explain this?
Yeah, so what my sources are telling me and what the agents who I have personal relationships with are saying to me is that this is not the fault of the agents on the ground. This is the fault of many echelons higher. That the Secret Service agents on the ground are overtasked, are overworked, they're not getting the assets they need. When, you know, listen, we have the Secret Service has the capability to protect anyone anywhere with almost like 100-degree amount of certainty. What it then comes down to is how much resources and money are we going to invest into each one of these events, mm-hmm. right? So I think what you saw was a lot of local and state police support being given to this event because so many Secret Service agents are in Milwaukee right now or are also in Chicago. It was very concerning to me to learn that the site survey was only done a day before when these are typically done weeks before, which means that the Secret Service agents, the detail lead for that site, was probably doing his walkthrough during the load-in, which gives him no time to course correct or, hey, this isn't good, or, hey, what do we have here, or what assets do I have available? And the fact that it was local police responsible for that outside or for that farmhouse that was outside the perimeter, great, but then you also need to inspect what you expect. What is the communication plan? Does that outside local police department have the ability to communicate directly with the Secret Service team, or do they have to go through multiple levels of communication before a decision can be finally made? Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. most upsetting, as CNN was reporting this morning, apparently the officers were alerted to that gunman on the roof, saw him. The gunman turned and aimed at that officer. And instead of the officer engaging that suspect, ducked and covered and protected himself instead.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, I'm not sure what to make of that yet. I mean, just because, you know, I've heard different reports. One report I heard that he kind of just ducked. Another one I heard is when he saw the gun, he fell off the ladder, which might be a little bit. And it was only a few seconds, I guess, until the shots went out. It feels, though, like there's some effort to just blame the local police officers. And look, they might be at fault here. It's certainly possible. But you're tasking them with an awful lot. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like there might be a little bit of the blame game going on. Is that, you think that's possible?
There's 100% a blame game. And the bottom line is that the buck stops with the Secret Service. Yeah. You can say, hey, I have attached an asset here. But if you are not giving them back briefs, giving them task conditions and standards, letting them know exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing when they're there, then it's no different than having like those guys with the yellow jackets at stadiums that are watching the game versus watching the crowd.
Right, right. Which never makes any sense to me. I saw the Biden speech last night, and I knew I wasn't going to like it. I'm not a Biden fan, but what I would have liked to have at least seen was something concrete. Hey, we're doubling protection. We're doubling the resources for all Trump events. We're going to start protecting RFK Jr., for example, with Secret Service protection. Right. We got none of that. I mean, what are the concrete steps that could actually happen that would protect Trump and all these other candidates?
To adhere to the actual standard that is already in place. One of the problems that we're running into is that they just don't have the assets available to them to do what they need to do in order to ensure the certainty for everyone involved. So what starts happening is we start chipping away at, okay, you're not going to have a 1 week advance, you're going to have 1 day. You're not going to have 100 agents, you're going to have 10. You're not going to have five, you're not going to have a counter assault team, we're going to give you a local SWAT team to back up your play. And so what you start doing is the Secret Service is this really great vintage wine. But then you start adding water to it with all this delineation and all this spreading out of assets that they don't really have the capability to do. I bet if you like went down and like audited each agent was on that detail that day and asked them the last time they got like a full 12 hours off, it would be a long time for almost all of them.
Fascinating. And can you give me, I mean, a lot has been made about these videos as you see Trump kind of going from the podium over to the vehicle for him to exit. You know, there's some people who kind of seem like they don't know where they're going. They're not holstering their weapons properly. Like, what do you make of that? So, is that real?
Yeah, that's a real concern. I thought the Secret Service agents on the ground that day did a very good job of covering the president once the threat was realized. What I had a real concern with was the discombobulation and the miscommunication. You hear agents saying, on you, okay, up and let's go. There's something in the protective world that's known as ambush relief syndrome, which is when you, let's say you're clearing a room and you take down one guy and you kind of let your guard down because you think you neutralized the threat. You kind of leave yourself vulnerable for follow-on attacks. And so the fact that they were kind of like very whimsical in letting President Trump kind of stand up and get his shoes and then give, you know, the fight sign, and then they kind of like walk him down to the car, and then they put him in the car on the passenger side instead of using the vehicle itself as cover. Like, why wasn't that SUV like backed right up to the stage to add another element of protection? And I think this is one of those things where it's really easy to train in ideal situations and under ideal scenarios. It's something else entirely to do it under duress. And if you are not trained and capable to act under duress as you are when you're not under duress, then what you see is what we got.
That's a great breakdown of all this. Spencer Corson, you've been doing this for years, threat management expert, founder of the Corson Security Group, and author of The Safety Trap, how you can apply a lot of the stuff that Spencer was talking about to your actual everyday life. It's a great book. You should definitely get it. Spencer, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, there are those who lead and those who follow. And when you're going to buy or sell a home, you better get a leader. You don't want a follower. In fact, you also don't want a leader who sucks at what they're doing, because that doesn't help either. You need to get the best agent from, you know, your area. Whether you're buying or selling a home, you got to have someone representing you. Can't stress that enough. I mean, a lot of people just like take the agent that the seller has. My advice is don't do that. Get your own agent, someone who's going to fight for what you need out of a sale or a purchase. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Whatever side of the transaction you're on, buying, selling a home, both, whatever you're doing, get in touch with them. You'll see what I mean. These are the best agents with the best records in your area. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. It is a free service to you, so why not check it out? realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
At the end of the radio show today, we got a call from a guy named Jesse, and he was at the rally where the incident happened with Donald Trump this weekend, and we had like a minute left in the show. And so I told him, hold on for a second, I need to talk to you off the air. And I wanted to bring that conversation to you. We went through kind of everything, his initial reactions, what he saw in the moment. Is conversation. I want to go to Jesse, who was at the rally for President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Jesse, give me a picture of what the day was like as you actually made your way to a rally that seemingly was going to be a normal day and turned very tragic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I immediately thought back to like September 11th. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, it was such a beautiful day. And that's exactly what it was here. I mean, it was hot. It was 92 degrees. But my goodness, the sun was shining. It was beautiful. And that was my first thought, man, it is so nice out. It took me about 2.5 hours to get through security. It was just like walking through a metal detector, emptying your pockets. Nobody checked IDs. Nobody checked for tickets. You know, like you had to confirm tickets online, and it said, you know, I'll have this at the door whenever you get in, but nobody checked them. And once you got through security, like after that, it was just very, very unorganized. Like you could just wander about but again, it was just farm show grounds. You know, it's like being at the fair, basically.
And you've been have you been to Trump rallies before? Was this similar to other, rallies?
This one was different because there was a visible difference of less Secret Service, I guess you could say. Like I've been to three of them in the past. And I mean, you have 40,000 people there. And from what I could see, you only had two snipers on the roof. And, I got to sit in the bleachers. I was about 10 to 15 feet to Trump's rear right in the bleachers.
Wow.
And when he came out, it was amazing. It was beautiful. And then, I only heard three shots initially, and then I heard multiple shots after that, which I would assume would be, you know, Secret Service snipers engagement. And the Secret Service tackled him so hard that Trump's shoes fell off, and they held him down there for quite a while. And then I heard a couple of the guys that were on top of him say, they kept repeating, Hawkeye is here. Hawkeye is here. Are we good to go? And so then they stood him up, and I couldn't see his face because his face was towards the crowd, but I could see his hand and it had blood on it. And I thought, dear God, please don't let anything bad happen. And, once they got him up, then I saw him stop and put his fist up. I could see his fist go up, and, then everybody started chanting USA and cheering and everything. And, I was in the center set of bleachers behind the podium. And then there was a set of bleachers to the left and a set of bleachers to the right. And on the far ends of both of those, bleachers, those are where the other victims were that got hit with gunfire. The right set of bleachers, like the police and Secret Service, they evacuated those people immediately. And then the left side bleachers, it took a little bit longer, like maybe within 2 or 3 minutes, they evacuated them. But us in the back set of bleachers, they held us there for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then they said, you know, at this point, they don't know if there's multiple shooters or not.
Right.
And so they said, you know, go ahead and evacuate, but stay low, stay low. So like we had to like bend over as we were leaving. And there were two hydraulic lifts. They look like forklifts, but they lift up and go about like 20 feet in the air. On either side, there was one on the left, one on the right, and they had these giant speakers suspended on them. And the hydraulic lift on the left side, I'm supposing it got hit by gunfire because it dropped immediately. And thank goodness it dropped straight down, because if it would have tilted over, it would have crushed those people in that set of bleachers there. But as we were leaving, there was hydraulic fluid all over the ground.
Oh my God! So walk me through this moment when the shots actually you hear them. I mean, were you scared for your own safety? Were you just thinking about the president? What was going through your mind in that moment?
At that exact moment, all I could think, because like Trump dropped down directly in front of us, and I thought, dear God, I hope he didn't get hit. And it wasn't until Secret Service started screaming. There were Secret Service, and then there was also State Police, and they were yelling, "Everybody get down! Everybody get down!" And within seconds, my son and my wife started calling me, and I said, "You know, the president's been hit. You know, I can't talk. They have us all laying on the ground." But I mean, looking back on it, it happened so fast. It was so surreal that I mean, you just didn't have time to think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jesse, give me your sense of the lay of the land. I mean, knowing obviously now what happened, how crazy is it to you that there wasn't Secret Service presence or police presence on the building where the shooter actually wound up?
Oh, my goodness. That's totally insane. It doesn't make sense to me at all. Like whenever you went through security, at first when they announced he was coming, I thought that they were going to have him. There's a small landing strip for like small little Cessna planes. Mm-hmm. At the far end of the farm show grounds, I thought that they were going to have them down there because it's all open, you know, but they had him at the opposite end. And I thought that was kind of strange because there's like a little bit of dip that goes down into a valley kind of thing. And there's a small pond and the grandstand where they have like tractor pulls and stuff like that. And then they have those barns over to the side. There are three barns behind where the president was. And then there was a set of tents that were in between the barns and like the stage area where we were at. And then to the immediate right of that is the AGR building. And that's where the shooter was at. But I mean, there's a fence that is there. And granted, like I've heard on the news and things like that, oh, well, he didn't have to go through security. He wasn't in the perimeter. But my goodness, you could throw a football to where that building was. You know, like it just doesn't make any sense to me.
That is just, I mean, just visually, they keep showing these over the head, you know, overhead maps and everything. And it looks completely absurd from that perspective. I can't imagine what it looked like, you know, being there in person. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it was even that difficult a shot for someone with any basic training.
No, I mean, if you had any, you could have got like a $35 optic and still been able to make the shot. I mean, it's ridiculous that they didn't have somebody there.
Last one for you here, Jesse. You have the moment where the shots ring out. You watch and you fear for the president. You're getting these panicked calls from your family. I mean, this is the craziest moment. But what is your feeling as you see Trump rise up and start pumping his fist and yelling fight? Does it change from fear to elation immediately? What is that moment like for you?
There was a moment where I was like, okay, we still at this point, we don't know how many people there are. We don't know how many shooters there are, anything like that. So like, yeah, he raises his fist and you want to celebrate, you want to be happy. But at the same time, you're like, I need to keep ducked down.
Yeah.
And there is no doubt in my mind that the good Lord was watching over him, because like, if he would have turned his head just slightly, it would have been a different story. And I praise the Lord that it didn't happen.
Jesse, I'm so glad you're okay and the president's okay. And most people, at least in the audience, are okay with
unfortunately, tragic exceptions to that. But Jesse, thanks so much for giving us a window into what it must have been like in a truly historic event. Has it set into you that you were there and something that people are going to remember forever?
That evening, whenever I got home, I'm like, no, like this can't happen in our little town. I mean, Butler City has 13,000 people in it. Butler County only has 120,000 people in it. And this is 100% Trump country. I mean, every building, every business has Trump signs all, you know, we love them. And we just haven't got to the point that I still haven't just realized it yet, I guess.
Well, even your dog seems to love him. So that's a good sign. Jesse, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take a moment and stop what you're doing and listen to this. Your God-given freedoms are up for the taking. Even worse, those doing the taking are the same people who were sworn to defend your freedom in some cases, and they think they can violate your right to protect your own family. They think they can force their delusions onto your children, and they think they can control the media and hide the truth. But you know what they can't take away? Self-reliance, peace of mind. Do you have water filtration? You probably should. Do you have a charged solar generator? You probably should. Emergency food on your shelf? You definitely should have that. Get it now from My Patriot Supply. Having served millions of American families, My Patriot Supply is the most trusted name in survival, and for good reason, too. So go to preparewithstew.com. This is, you know, the food that we have for our family. We got it from preparewithstew.com for My Patriot Supply. Right now, you can get $200 off their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. It delivers over 2,000 calories per day, sealed inside practically unpierceable packaging. It lasts up to 25 years, which is kind of the reason why I went with them, because I didn't want to think about it again for another 25 years because I'm lazy. You can do that, too. By the way, the food is actually good, too, so that's a nice benefit if you ever get to the point where you need to use it. Preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. Save $200 per kit right now. Free shipping is included. It's preparewithstew.com. All right, we're in the middle of our taping, and we do get breaking news from the president, former president Donald J. Trump, on Truth Social writes, after your lengthy deliberation and thought, after considering the tremendous talents of many others, I have decided that the person best suited to assume the position of vice president of the United States is Senator J.D. Vance of the great state of Ohio. J.D. Vance honorably served our country in the Marine Corps, graduated from Ohio State in 2 years, summa cum laude, Yale Law School graduate, editor of the Yale Law Journal, president of the Yale Law Veterans Association, Hillbilly Elegy, of course, a major bestseller, as we know, went on to go talk about he will help make America great again. So congratulations to J.D. Vance and his wife. His wife is going to be a positive for this campaign as well. She's very, very likable. So this is really interesting. He does mention in there in the first clip, talking about the states. And do I have the list in front of me here? He mentions specifically, and this is something that I've talked to you before, it didn't seem like there was a direct tie to electoral, gains from J.D. Vance. Like, oh, Ohio, he's going to win Ohio anyway. But look at what he mentions there. He says Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Minnesota, and far beyond. Those states are states that are, many of them border Ohio, of course, in that same region, but also the region that his book specifically talked about and talked about the problems of that region. I do think there's electoral benefit with him talking to that Rust Belt area. And also, Donald Trump needs to win one of those states if he wants to become president. So that part of it is interesting. The second part of it is he's very good on television, very good arguing. He is a bulldog. He can go get you, but he's also very, very smart. He's not just wild with his claims, even though I know the left would disagree with that analysis. And in addition, he's 39 years old. And I think it's an interesting pick. It's also the pick I've talked to you many times that if I were Donald Trump, it is the pick that I would have made. It is the best legacy pick as far as an alignment of policy with one of these VP contenders. And it sets him up for for Trumpism to not be a two-term thing. It could be something that goes on and on and on. Now, some of you might not like that. There's certain aspects of it I definitely don't like. There's some aspects I do like. But J.D. Vance is a pretty good VP candidate. And I think with everything that's gone on, it enabled Donald Trump to be a little more bold with this pick. That's the way he went. J.D. Vance will be the VP. I will have more breakdown of this on YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. I'm going to go live here after my taping and lay this out in more detail. But go check it out there. Back in a second. On YouTube, on podcast with the State of the Race podcast, you'll get more VP analysis, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. And on Blaze News tonight, this evening, I will be talking about it as well. Don't miss it. More tomorrow.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser